Praise the Lord. Message number 131. The title of the message, Put God First, Part 6. We'll continue to tackle in this message how to put God first in regard to our salvation. And we will see where God is mentioning that He will blot out the name from Book of Life. Let's open our Bible to the Book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and let's read from verse 18 to verse 21. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. When such a person hearts, when such a person hears the word of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself, and therefore thinks, I'll be safe, even though I persist in doing my own way. This will bring disaster on the water land as well as the dry. The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. His wrath and zeal will bring, burn against that man. All the curses written in this book will fall upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for disaster, according to all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for who you are in our life. Thank you for the salvation that we receive through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we commit ourselves to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I pray, O God, that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for a true repentance for those who hear the word of yours, and their heart will be turned to you in full and surrender their will for you, O God. I pray that you take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it spread to reach your people who are willing and who are waiting to listen to your word and to fully obey your ways. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses was speaking to the Israelite here. The Lord say, make sure there is no man or woman, make sure, be very careful and check that there will be no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord. When the heart turns away from the Lord, when the people start to love things not of God, or being drawn with temptation or certain thought not from God, then they start to worship idols. Anything you love not in the scripture, anything you follow not in the scripture, that is idol. The Lord say, make sure that no man or woman whose heart turn away from the Lord and start to do his own. And also in verse 18, he say, make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. People, their heart, when it have a sinful desire or selfish ambition or think not of God, they will try to do their own. And they want also that what they are thinking, what they are planning will be prevail. It will be like, this is the right things that the people should do. The Lord here say that there should be no bitter root or bitter poison. There should not be root among you that produces such bitter poison. If there is one person inside the church who is trying to promote or make his way prevail, and that is not in the scripture what he is doing, he is a bitter root, and that is a poison and will defile other people. We as a church, we should make sure that no such things is happening in the life of each and every member of the church, in the life of each and every worker of the church. First, because their salvation will be lost. God say, I'll blot out his name from under heaven. Who are those people? Those people inside the church who have received Christ and they know the word of God and they know what is their wrongdoing and they continue to do so. Such kind of people, what he says in verse 19, when such a person hears the word of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself. And therefore thinks, I will be saved even though I persist in going my own way. Such kind of people, they come to church, they listen to the word of God, and they will feel good when they hear the word of God, and they will invoke a blessing. They will claim the blessing of God, even though they don't obey the word of God, even though they persist in their wrong doing. Many people, they move from church to church. They want to find some preaching or some messages that suit their sinful nature. They want somebody to approve to them what they are doing wrong. Or they will watch the TV and the satellite channels and hear the messages, hear these messages through the satellite, and they move from channel to channel so that they can find a suitable message for them. And they think that as they hear the message, the blessing will flow in their life. A blessing will never flow in your life unless you repent and turn away from your sin and not to persist in going on in your own way. The Lord say, If you hear the message and you don't repent and you persist in your own way and you think that as you hear the message you are receiving a blessing, the Lord say this will bring disaster on the water land as well as the dry. This will be bring disaster on the person who do it and disaster on the surrounding area. So as a church, what we need to do, we need to define sin very well. We have to put sin and define it according to the scripture, according to the word of God. We explain it and we put it between two brackets so that everyone know what is sin. Everyone know what is the righteous way, and everyone will know what is the evil way. Any member of the church should know the stand of the church and the teaching of the Lord according to the scripture. And then the church is responsible to admonish and correct and point out the sin to those who are not willing to respond. Because if you will not do that, God's wrath will be on all. God will not only bring wrath on those who sin, God will bring wrath on the church who refuse to correct those who are still doing sin and who want to make their sin prevail and become a root of bitter poison for the rest of the members of the church. The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. God is not willing to forgive such person who is not willing to repent. And the Lord will send his wrath and will burn against that man. And God will bring all the curses that is written against those who do wrong, and God will blot out his name from under heaven. We need to show these scriptures to those who persist on their wrong doing. In verse 21, the Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for disaster. Disaster comes when person will continue to do wrong in spite of that he is hearing the word of God. God will single him out for disaster according to all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. Verse 22, and I will read onward. Your children who follow you in later generations and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamities that have fallen on the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be burning waste of salt and sulfur. Nothing implanted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrow in fierce anger. All the nation will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this fierce burning anger? And the answer will be, it is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods he had not given them. Therefore the Lord's anger burned against this land, so that he brought on it all the curses written in this book. In furious anger and in a great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from their land and thrust them into another land as it is now. What we read here, that your children, the descendant and the non-believer, the foreigners, will ask, why like this? Why there's no blessing? Why there are diseases? Why there's no fruit? There's no vegetation? Nothing good? Why God is doing like this? They will ask. And then the answer is that because the people have abandoned their covenant and have break their covenant with the Lord. Now here the responsibility of the church. Why we need to admonish and correct and rebuke those who are not willing to repent? Because God, when he will send his wrath, he will send it on all, not only on that person. And therefore we as a church, we need to stand with the Lord. Those who are not willing to repent, God will blot out their names. But God put in our had responsibility to correct them, to rebuke them, and also to define sin and to admonish them so that their way will not prevail. When one person left alone and he is forcing the church to approve his ways, if his way according to the word of God, that is correct. But if his ways is not according to the word of God, it means that his heart is turning away from the Lord, and he wants his ways to be prevailed, and he wants other people to approve so that other people will follow his ways. That will bring destruction on many others who will be deceived by his ways. And we as a church, we need to make sure that there is no evil person like that. The scripture that we have read in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, where the Lord says, I will blot out the name of that person from under heaven, I will single him out for disaster, and I will bring trouble on him. Now, do we find a scripture in the New Testament that speak about the same? Because some people, they may say, oh, this is the Old Testament. Now we are in the New Testament. Let us read the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll find out where God is mentioning about the bitter root that defile many and cause destruction to many. Hebrews chapter 12, and I will read. I will read from verse 15 to verse 17. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, the grace of God that brings salvation, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now hear what is mentioned here. The situ that no one misses the graces of God. No one, he listened to the message and he continued to persist in his wrong doing. We need to give the message. We need to define sin. And we need to admonish those who are not willing to repent. We need to go to them one by one in a personal way. Because that's what God say. Make sure in the book of Deuteronomy that no man or woman, a clan or a tribe among you today whose heart turn away from the Lord our God. He say here, see to it that no one misses the grace. How the grace of God will be missed when you receive Christ, but your heart turn away from the Lord and start to do your own. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That we need to check the members. We need to check the congregations. Sometimes we are not aware certain teaching will go on or certain sin is not described. It may prevail in the life of a certain congregation in the church, and we need to correct this congregation and admonish those who do wrong that what they are doing will not bring salvation, and their name will be blot out from the book of life. Verse 16 and 17, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the older son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Now, we know Esau, when he sought his birthright, it was sin. He did not repent. He came to get the blessing. He wanted to get the blessing, but there is no repentance. So he was rejected. In the same way, if you want the blessing of God, if you want the inheritance in heaven, if you want eternal life, you should not persist in your wrong doing. As a church, we have to define sin first. We have to admonish those who persist in their wrongdoing to protect them, to get saved, to come back to the Lord, and also not to allow their sin will infect others and will corrupt more believers and more workers inside the church. The third thing, as a church, we are responsible to judge sin. Some people, they say, do not judge, because according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, say, do not judge or you too will be judged. That is correct if the church does not know what is the sin of that person. But when you know the sin, when you know his wrongdoing very clearly, now you have to confront that person. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 to verse 13, Paul say, but now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who call himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, or greedy, an idolater, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. He told them, don't eat with such kind of people. Don't have fellowship with them. And then in verse 12, what he said to them, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? Verse 13. God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. What he is telling them, as a church, we have right from God to judge those who are inside, because that's our responsibility. Outside the church, the non-believer, we have no authority on them. God will judge them. We need to admonish and correct those who are inside, because that is our ransom. That is our responsibility. When he say, make sure that no one like that, and he say that no one misses the grace of God, and no one godless like Esau, no one like that, because those who do this and persist, their names will be blotted out from the book of life. We as a church, our responsibilities is to turn them away from their wicked ways back to God, and to protect the rest, and that no one will think that sin is praised and approved by the church. In the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 19 to verse 20, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. What he say here is our responsibility to turn away people from doing sin and bring them back to the Lord. We preach, we define, we admonish from the pulpit, and when it is needed, we need to do it on a personal level. Even if they got hurt or disturbed, that is for their good, not for our good. That is for the good for the rest who are inside the church. Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 20, those who sin are to be rebuked publicly, so that the others may take warning, so that no bitter root that poison and defile many will grow inside the church, inside the body of Christ, inside the congregation, and cause and defile a congregation, that part of the church. In the book of Acts, we can read about a story where Peter confront and he rebuke a person whose heart was not right before God. In the book of Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, we will read this story. So the church should confront sin, should say this is wrong, should say that is not correct, so that the message will be clear to everyone and to the public outside. The public and the foreigners, the Gentiles, those who are not in Christ, should know that the church does not approve such kind of attitude and behaviors. Book of Acts, chapter 8 and verse 5 onward, and I will read to verse 24. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miracle of signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and crippled were healed. So there was great joy in the city. The gospel preached, and there was good response to the message that Philip had proclaimed to them. We will continue verse 9. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is a divine power, known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Let's speak about this person's Simon, before he came to know Christ. He was practicing magic, a boastful person. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The people start to follow Christ. They left Simon. They start to follow Christ and they get baptized. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this is not correct behavior and what he says is not correct, and he said it publicly. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Peter rebuked him publicly, because you want to buy the gift of God with money. Peter explained to him, because you thought, your thinking is wrong. You cannot buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry. He told him, you cannot do this ministry. You have no part in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Why Simon, he said this? Because his heart is not right before God. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he say, make sure that no man or woman, tribe or clan among you, their heart turn away from the Lord. Now here, when there's somebody, his heart turn away from the Lord, they start to do wrong things, wrong behavior, start to behave in a bad way, and we as a church, we need to correct him and we need to rebuke him so that he will repent and others will not follow his example. Verse 22, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, wrong thought in the heart of that man. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. See here, Peter did his part. The church did its part. Peter kept quiet. The church kept quiet. Simon will understand that's correct. The people in the church will understand that's correct, and the people outside will understand that's correct. The point here, we as a church, we need to do our part so people's names will not be blot out from the book of life. Don't go with your own understanding. Sin, we need to define. Sinner, we need to admonish, and we need to judge in the situations that God allow us as a church, so that others will heed and the message of salvation will be range out with the right word, and the people understand what is holiness and what is God requires from us in keeping with the salvation that he gave to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Lord, we believe that the purpose of sending the message shall be accomplished in the life of your church and in the life of your people. Lead us, O God, as a church to do the right things, and I pray, enable us. Give us boldness to face those who are doing wrong, doing and sin, to define sin to them and to admonish them and to correct them, O God, and to rebuke them when it is needed, so that they will come back to you and get repent. Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus, I pray, O God, to those who listen to the message, that their heart will turn toward you once again. And, O Lord, they will forsake their own ways, so that their name will not be blot out from the book of life. O God, hear our prayer, O Lord, and let your name be glorified, and let the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the harvest that you desire. O Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hands be with us, and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Jesus' name. Amen and Amen.